Hi, friends. It's your favorite neighborhood podcast. We have thoughts. We are in our Conversations with Oscar rewind. Ooh, I can't say that. Series. We're talking about the 2017 Oscars. Today, we're going to be talking about Hell or High Water. I'm Crystal.
I'm Anna.
I'm Joy.
And yeah. Hell or High Water.
Dive in.
Yeah, let's do it. So, so it was nominated for Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor for Jeff Bridges, Best Original Screenplay, Tyler Sheridan, Best Film Editing, Jake Roberts. Four nominations total, no wins.
Oh, zero.
Nothing. Zit.
Well,
fair. So, little side story. When this movie came out initially, we were supposed to watch it, and we put it on, like, the day of the Oscars that Sunday. Stuff happened, and we couldn't do it. So it was the only one we saw. We didn't see that year, which clearly didn't matter. But so we finally all saw it for the first time this past week.
Which was kind of an exciting change after the last couple movies all being rewatches. It was nice to see something brand new again.
Mm-hmm.
I'd missed that feeling. That was nice.
Yeah. So what did you think of it, Anna?
It's definitely not my type of movie. It's not something I would go seek out. I thought it was okay.
I wrote that it's that year's dad movie. It was that year's dad movie.
Yeah. It had some really great shots. I wrote down a few shots that I really enjoyed throughout the movie. In the very beginning, there's that shot of Chris Pine's profile while his brother's like leaning against the fence and there's just like the sky. I was like, that is such a beautiful shot.
Chris Pine or the shot?
Both. I'm sure Chris Pine made it beautiful, but.
You know what? I think that was probably my favorite part of the movie is Chris Pine's face.
His eyes.
Like, he's real dingy and dirty because he's in like the desert. And so the dirt makes his eyes look bluer somehow. Literal magic. Wow.
Were they green in this movie?
Heaven is what they were looking like. I don't know.
They were like blue green because I'm pretty sure they like bumped up the saturation for certain colors.
Yeah.
Maybe just in general because like a lot of the shots I did see, because it's like the flat land of Texas, the flat side of Texas, the desert flat of it. There's not a lot of color there, obviously. but
she said
in a multitude of ways.
But they bumped up the saturation a lot because even their like everything they wore was really dull and muted, but the color, like the kind of red sort of sunburn of their faces and then like blue green of his eyes was really, really bright.
Mm-hmm.
And like even the cars that they would steal, their colors were a little bit brighter.
I thought even he could have been wearing contacts at points because I think Ben Foster has green eyes, so I think like brother wise they were trying to match that.
Okay.
I don't know, possibly.
I like that it was an original story. That's always refreshing. Was it an exciting story? Maybe not, but I do appreciate that it's an original and it's not like a remake or something or like an adaptation.
Maybe that's why it was like best original screenplay.
It was up against
because it was actually original.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was up against The Lobster, Manchester by the Sea, 20th Century Women, and La La Land, with Manchester by the Sea taking the win.
I don't remember about that movie. I remember, but we'll get there, I guess. I'll wait. I'll save it.
What did I do?
You know what my first note is for this?
Huh.
Oh, the fragility of white men. Whenever she calls him stupid and he like flips the fuck out.
Yeah, and he's like threatening her and then he changes his whole tune. Like he gets a lot harsher and whatever.
I was like, oh God, it's one of those.
Yeah, the opening scenes before like the credits, I was like, oh, this is really setting the tone. And I don't like this tone.
Although I did write, I'd recognize Chris Pine's beautiful eyes anywhere. And it was underneath the ski mask. Hello.
Yeah.
It was, I think I wrote in my Letterboxd review, it was a very talented cast, but a kind of slow story. There was a lot of, like, fast-paced things, and then it would slow down a lot. But I think in the slow parts, it did a good job of like telling the character's point of view. It was just a lot of like up and down, and like they're either going 60 or going zero.
Yeah, yeah. I like that they had like Chris Pine had a purpose. Like he wasn't just being a criminal, be a criminal. Like he had a goal and he was doing this only to do this, and then that was it.
But you know? At the same time, I wish the stakes were a little higher. Because, like you said, the times where it was like zero, you're kind of going, why? And there was so much racism in this movie.
Yeah, that's part of my review. I could do without the racism, but overall, a solid movie.
I was like, it's not adding any dimension to the story. It's not adding anything to the characters. What are we supposed to be okay with it when Jeff Bridges feels bad after his partner dies?
Yeah.
After the whole movie, he's been saying racist shit to him.
And he's like, I'm just teasing. What? Sir, those aren't even microaggressions anymore. They're just aggressions.
Do you think he deserved his nomination for Best Actor?
Best Supporting?
Best Supporting, whatever.
It's kind of hard to tell. I feel like it's not necessarily like anything like spectacular from him.
That was a very
stacked category.
They always are. The men are always are.
Because you know they have. Huh?
Who was nominated for supporting?
Mahershala Ali for Moonlight, who ended up winning. Hedges for Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, he was really good in that.
Dev Patel for Lion.
He should have been a lead in that. I'm still mad about it. Anyways, yeah. We'll get there.
Michael Shannon for Nocturnal Animals.
Oh.
So there's a lot. There's a lot happening.
I did.
What did you think of that? I mean, we're not talking about it, but still.
It was one of the nominees. We can chat a little.
It was. I need to rewatch it. I watched it on a very, very bad day. A lot of shit was happening in my life, and we wanted a movie distraction.
Oh, no.
And so we went to see that. And okay, just for some clarification, this was like the day after my parents split up and a bunch of shit went down.
Oh,
and
no.
So we went and saw this movie about this awful marriage falling apart.
Oh, no.
It was too new. Oh, God.
It was very raw. But I would love to rewatch it because I did think it was a good movie, and there was a lot of actors in there I really love, aka Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Yeah, and Amy Adams and Michael Shannon. Yeah, a lot of good people. Yeah, great. I put it on my list recently because I wanted to see it. I wouldn't give him the win. I think he's kind of one of those safe choices. It's solid. He gives it his all.
Plus, he won like a year prior for Crazy Heart, which I never saw. But from what I read, it's kind of similar to this.
Well, in the kind of
Jeff Bridges kind of way, I guess.
And that like grungy sort of Southern kind of.
And the Academy loves to nominate white men who play racists.
Girl, you know, sometimes I actually win the award too.
Ooh.
But I'm not going to get into that conversation again.
You can go back and listen to our three billboards podcast.
Oh, God.
Okay. So,
no.
I found almost zero redeemable qualities in Chris Pine's brother, whose name I can't remember at all.
Ben Foster,
yeah. But it did have me thinking like, wow, the things that you would do for your siblings, like the lengths that you would go, like this guy, he's a ride or die brother. Like literally
he 100% like, was doing it for himself as well.
Jeff Bridges explained it really well. Like later on, he was like, this guy, he personality wise, like he just needs that sort of high.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get it, he's just gonna go like batshit crazy, which he did. He's just one of those people that can never have like can never stop doing anything, can't like stand still without like their demons like closing in.
Right. He did have one redeemable quality. And that was the fact that he asked for a Dr. Pepper and said, only assholes drink this.
What a Texas thing to ask
for. I thought about you when he said that, actually.
I wrote the quote and I said, a true Texan.
Oh, my God. I did enjoy the score by Nick Cave.
Yeah, it's really great.
I thought it was really nice. And it's a really nice, like, departure from, like, typical scores that are nominated. I think, because it's just, the style is a little bit different. But it was really interesting.
I literally just finished watching the movie, like, 30 minutes ago. I can't remember the score, but I remember the country music soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. I feel like
that outshone it a bit.
Mm-hmm. It's hard with, like, movies like this that are in such a specific setting, their music choices are usually pretty on the nose. They're not very subtle when it's like stylistic sort of things like this.
It's Nick Cave in a Warren Ellis. They also did The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. I've never seen that movie, but I've always, it's on my list of things to see. It's Brad Pitt and other people, I forgot.
Another shot I really liked was when, I was reading the wrong note and I was very confused. the sky shot when Jeff Bridges has a blanket wrapped around him and it's billowing in the wind. And then there's the blue on blue sky. I loved that.
They did a picture.
Like, blowing and.
For what it is, like, they did a really good job of, like, capturing that sort of, like, West Texas essence. And still, like, it looks both dirty and yet aesthetically pleasing. So, like, it looks realistic, but also, like, optimistic. It was really interesting. The part that I did like about this story was that it kind of showed, unfortunately, for the most part, it was just, like, one type of person. But it did show, like, the economic hardships of these small towns and how one seemingly life-saving industry is there and then all of a sudden it's gone. And, like, you either have good money or you have nothing.
Yeah.
So, like, you either discover oil in your backyard or you're dirt poor like everyone else.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that you don't often see. So that was portrayed really well. I really wish they showed that with a little bit more diversity because it felt like everybody's like one sort of person. Everybody has like the same story and stuff, but they could have done a little bit more with that. But I think that where the story took that was interesting. That actually made me like pay attention to the story.
Yeah. It gave it more dimension and texture.
Right. It wasn't just like these two dudes like, ooh, we're robbing a bank. It's like, no, I'm doing this for this particular reason.
There's a purpose behind it. Because he said something to the effect of like, I've been poor all my life and that's a disease I don't want to like give to my kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah. Like he's trying his best in his own way to course correct for his children. So
yeah.
It's not like he's just a criminal. He's like, I got to do this to do this to do this.
You know? Yeah. You got to do it for them. Yeah. And it was really great. Ooh, what's his name? Hold on. I don't want to get his name wrong. One moment. Gil Birmingham, who is an actor that I've seen in, like, so many things. He played, like, a side character on Parks and Rec. And he would always come in and just, like, make people think, obviously, things that weren't true. And it was really funny. He'd always trick everybody. And it was great. It was what they deserved. I really liked his little speech that he gave to Jeff Bridges where they're sitting out on the porch of the restaurant after having their steaks and potatoes. that they're like, he describes the long history of like people killing and taking this land and then the next group of people killing and taking that land and then the next and then the next.
Yeah.
And how it just like keeps going. And cycle. Yeah. And that everyone's like kind of trapped in this cycle because someone else with more power and more money kind of takes over.
Yeah.
It and relates perfectly, parallels perfectly to what Chris Pine was saying about his generations of poor.
Right. That's the only part that like of the story I wish we saw more of like him and his culture's point of view, instead of just like a one-dimensional cultural point of view. I feel like there's a lot more story in that, and I feel like there's other movies that do that, that I'm sure don't get enough recognition, and so now I've got that like little marked off. I'm gonna try to find something.
Well, that's a good
idea.
Tells
that story from that perspective.
I like that. I said, of course, the person of color dies.
Yep.
Again. Yep.
Yikes.
What to talk about.
I really thought. Sorry. I don't know if you guys had some idea like predicting how it was gonna end. Like, who was going to survive this or who wasn't?
I wasn't sure. But I thought if anyone was going to die, it was going to be Ben Foster.
Definitely.
I wasn't sure if they were going to actually do it.
I didn't know for sure until they split up there at the end.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay, he's going to go off and pull fire. But I didn't know how badly Chris Pine was injured. So I had this idea of him going back home and then Jeff Bridges coming and finding him dead.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I thought too.
But.
Yeah, because he was like, he got shot and it wasn't just like in the arm, it was like in his side. Yeah, so that's a little bit more dangerous. And he just put duct tape on it, so I don't really think that helped very much.
Yeah,
and peeled it off.
All he needed was a little Windex.
Oh my gosh, shut up.
But if he's gonna use duct tape.
Spray some Windex on it.
God, I don't.
But then at the end, he's basically asking Jeff Bridges to kill him, right? That's the vibe I was getting.
He's asking for like a face off, because like Jeff Bridges wants revenge. But like he can't like.
But also, Chris Pine feels guilty.
Yeah.
Like he's carrying around this massive amount of guilt for the lives that were taken in the bank.
Yeah, because that wasn't his plan.
Yeah. So I felt like he was almost begging without begging Jeff Bridges to kill him. But come back to my place.
Yeah. But I like that they left it at that rather than, like, give me a conclusive, like, ending to where I know what happens between those two.
Yeah.
Although, I gotta say, that final shot where it's just, like, looking out and then it just lowers down into the grass, I thought was so cheesy.
Yes. I was like, because I was like.
Drop to the grass.
And then, like, credits roll. Like, yeah.
Maybe he just fell and they're like, we'll just leave it.
They should have just left it on the oil tanks. The oil drills going. That would have been a ending shot.
Because it was nice when they like followed the car and then the car was out of the shot and then it came back in the shot when he's driving away. That was nice. Like they could have just left it there.
Yeah, and there was a lot of, especially at the very beginning whenever like you see that lady coming out of her car and going into the bank.
The tracking?
That's in a rounding and you like establish where they are and then you see her walk in. There were some really good shots there, but like I feel like the last one was lazy.
Well, so one of the nominees for best film editing. So I think the arrangement of the shots, that was good, but I think the shots themselves were a little bit stronger.
That's a good critique. I like that. The arrangement of them. I concur.
Yeah. When I finished it, I was like, I don't feel like the editing was where it shined the most.
No, I think the establishment of the shots was stronger than the editing.
And Chris Pine's eyes are what shined the most.
Yeah. Honestly, yes, that was the brightest part of the movie.
It really was.
Because it was nominated against Arrival.
Nope, garbage. I mean, not Arrival, this, sorry.
Hacksaw Ridge, which ended up winning film editing.
I don't agree with that.
Moonlight and La La Land.
Oh, Moonlight.
So, like, I know we've said it a bunch before, but this is a really, this was a really strong year, and there was a lot of contenders. So, by a lot, I mean more than one. but like everybody had their talents in like certain places, and I think as we're going through these a little bit more, you can definitely see like everybody brings all these films bring something to the table.
Yeah,
some more than others, but like I can see why they're here. I do think this is, I don't know 100% that it should have been nominated for Best Picture,
but yeah,
I do see its value as like a good film. Like it didn't wow me, but I can say that was a good, a well done piece.
I feel very similar to Fast and Furious, Vroom Vroom for the white people. What was it called?
Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, I feel very similar to that movie. It was like it had good elements and the acting was good. It's very dad movie-esque. It should have been there. Meh. But that's, so I feel very similar about this movie that I feel about that one.
The only thing that tips it into the it should be nominated category for me is that it is an original story. And we don't get enough of those.
Yeah.
So I liked that a lot. I liked the originality. But yeah, it just, it wasn't my kind of movie. But I do find it really interesting going back and watching these. I feel like I have a different perspective of what's nominated. I'm not so invested because we already know the outcome.
Right. So we can be more neutral.
That's been more interesting to kind of feel out as we've been going through these. It's like,
yeah,
maybe this did deserve that kind of nomination, or it should have won.
It'll be interesting even more so when we're seeing movies we haven't seen at all, like a whole entire series of movies that are brand new to us. That's going to be, but anyways, I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, with this year, we watched them, but we didn't talk about them in as much as we did. So during the award ceremony, when they announced Hacksaw Ridge winning film editing, we were like, oh, okay. Like, it didn't make us go, it didn't deserve it the way it's making us do it now.
Yeah. We're digesting it a little bit differently this time.
Yeah, well, we've had time to digest it, too.
I feel like we're smarter movie cinephiles, if you will.
Yeah.
Than we were this 2017.
I'm putting my pinky up. We're so fancy.
No, I think we consider ourselves cinephiles. We do watch a lot of movies. We have opinions about them. They're semi-educated.
Right, yeah. And going back to like, okay, so like it is a very original screenplay. I think the screenplay and then the cast are the two things that I can use to justify it being in the Best Picture category.
Yeah.
Because from Jeff Bridges to Chris Pine to Ben Foster to Al, I forgot his last name.
Gil Birmingham.
Yes. Why did I say Al? I don't know. Gil Birmingham. They were all really good and they all had moments to shine.
And I think if anybody else had been in those parts, this wouldn't have been as great as good of a movie.
Yeah. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. I think they all fit their roles pretty well.
Yeah. So I did learn. Mm-hmm. So we all know what the term come hell or high water means. Like it's no matter what, whatever needs to be done, but it can also mean it's a clause, which means payment must continue no matter the difficulties the paying party may encounter.
Oh.
So that adds another layer to this story.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Me either.
Which goes
into... I actually did know that.
Wow, yeah, look at you. Educated.
I looked it up a long time ago. That's all the reason why I know.
Educated. yeah, okay. So that gives you something
so
else.
So yeah, it does add another layer to it. You're right. Agreed.
Would you guys rob banks to save the futures of your children?
Probably, yeah. But it's another instance, because I just watched a movie where it happened, but a sibling doing anything for another sibling, I was like, oh God. Yeah. We watched a movie just now that he's like, you're terrible, but I do anything for you. I mean, yikes.
Anna?
I don't know. I'm too much of a, for lack of a better word, a pussy to
rob a bank. You can say wimp.
A baby, maybe?
That's coming to mind.
I have a better word, but there's so many words I can say.
I couldn't. That was the only word in my head.
Wow.
What have you been thinking about?
I've been enjoying my time alone today.
Woo! Good for you.
Yeah, but it's my kids, though. Like, if I could help, in, maybe not guarantee, but, like, Aiden and their lives being different than mine, then, I mean, it would be worth a shot. Would I fail? Probably. But I...
Well, I mean, he was really smart about it. He went to these small banks where it was likely they didn't have any security. It wasn't going to be a lot of people because they're really small towns, you know. So he was really smart about
it.
I'm
not some Ben Foster crazy want to just rob
a bank. Woo, let's rob a bank.
I'd be the Chris Pine of it for sure. Because even then he was like, I don't want to shoot anybody. Let's just get in. No. Like, he was very.
And even in that last bank that they robbed, he definitely didn't want to do it because there's way too
many
people there.
He kept telling him, no,
we got to go. Like,
We got to go. Yeah. I would be the Chris Pine of it for sure.
So would you do that for your kids? And then would you ride or die for your siblings if they asked you to go do this with them to save your nieces and nephews? Would you do it?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, yeah.
Would you do it for Charlie? Yes. Yeah.
Damn it, yes.
Same. I would also do this. Are we surprised?
But no. I would say no. Let me plan it because I know you can't do it. So shut up and let me figure it out. That's what would happen. But yes.
Damn. I mean,
you do it for us too, really, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, I do it in a heartbeat. Nobody listen to this in the future in case I have to.
She's just ready to like shoot people up, beat people murder all over the place.
Oh my god, no. No, but I am a ride or die bitch, so.
That is true. Yes, you are.
I do it for my siblings and I do it for
you.
You're
about
guys.
To ride and die.
I'm not the driver in this group. Someone else do it.
I drive.
I'll die. Someone car. Ride.
I drive the getaway car.
Yes.
Oh my god.
There we go. We'll be okay.
Good lord. Please don't arrest us. Anyone listening to this?
We're not really gonna do this. We're okay. Thank God.
No
one's listening
to this but us three, so it's fine. It's fine. We're fine.
So in the rankings of Best Picture.
I didn't do that. Dang.
Right. Where are we at currently?
Oh, let me see here. Give us a minute to commercial break. Oh, let me see here.
Okay.
And when you're done.
I got it.
Oh, I have something right here.
What are you doing? Anna, you ready?
Yeah. My number one is still Arrival. Fences, Hidden Figures, Hell or High Water, then Hacksaw Ridge.
All
right. I think mine's exactly the same. Arrival, Hidden Figures, Fences, Hell or High Water, Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, we just had Fences and Hidden Figures switched.
Yeah, mine's more or less the same. But Arrival still
yeah.
Where it belongs.
Where did you feel?
Other than the top two, the rest of my list is the same. I didn't see Hacksaw Ridge, so this is better than that. It's not better than Fences, though, because that was as good as the acting. As good as the acting was in this, that was acting.
Yeah, girl.
That deserved the wins for acting. Hidden Figures, I'm just like very, very, I just love something like happy right now. So I'm really feeling Hidden Figures. But Arrival also ends pretty optimistically. So, I mean, kind of.
For the world.
Yes, but no. I'd probably have to agree. I could switch Hidden Figures for Arrival, though. I could do either or. Either one could be the number one at the moment where we're at so far.
Okay. I think that's pretty good. But next week it's going to be interesting.
Ooh, next week is the big shake-up.
We're not going to talk about it yet. We're going to save our... But yeah, anyways, that's our thoughts on Hell or High Water.
Yeah, I know. I forget how my brain works. I'll explain later. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. Have a good day.